last mishnah of this series. We're talking now, we're in Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet. Okay? Now, this is a different, like, standalone topic, really. We're dealing with the topic of what's called Dinei Vlados, which means the money compensation for a lost child. There's a pasuk. The pasuk, it's in Shmos, in Mishpatim, Chafalaf, Perek Chafalaf, Pasuk Chabes. It says, V'chi Natsu Anashim, when two people are fighting, two men, Anashim, people, as opposed to animals, are fighting, V'nagfu Isha, and Mr. A punches Mr. B, but Mr. B ducks, and Mr. A punches the person standing behind Mr. B, and it happens to be a pregnant woman. Right? She's an Isha Hara, a pregnant woman. V'yatso Yeladeha, and the baby, she miscarries as a result. V'lohaya Ason, but she didn't die. Nothing happened to her. No, she didn't die. She just lost the child. But she lived. So then what's the din? So the pasuk, I'm reading just the pasuk, breaking it up. Anoshi Anesh, he, the Mr. A, the puncher, the guy who did the punching, will be punished. Kashir Yashis Alav Balha Isha, as will be assessed by the husband of the woman who miscarried. Okay, fine. That's the pasuk. So the din is the pasuk. The classic case is that when two people are fighting and they accidentally hurt a woman and the woman miscarries, she doesn't get killed herself. No, that'd be different then, of course. So then the guy who shoved the or hurt, punched whatever the woman miscarried has to compensate her in addition to the usual five payments that go to the woman and her husband. There's an additional payment, it's called a sixth payment, called Dmei Vlados, the damage compensation for the loss of the child.
This is even with there's no intention to harm this person.
Right. When you people fight, you get hurt. Right, exactly. Remember, he was intending to hurt Mr. A, he just happened to hurt Mrs. B. Okay, that's Mr. B and Mrs. B. Fine. He tried to punch Mr. B and he ducked and hit his wife, Mrs. B. Okay. So we're not talking about, you've learned the eighth pair already. We're not talking about when the woman gets compensated for five payments, and that is a little complicated. Remember, some go to her, like the tsar, some go to him, like the shevis, some to machlokas, I divide it up, like the busha. I'm not into that. We're talking about a separate din all to itself, called Dmei Vlados, the payment for the baby. Now, Dmei Vlados actually has two components to it, in terms of loss. One is Dmei Vlados proper, which is the actual, like if you have a slave person that's pregnant, she's worth more than a slave person that has, that's not pregnant, because you've got like another asset in the making. There's like an actual dollar loss to the loss of the baby, separate from her. Right? The fact that she's pregnant makes her more valuable. Yeah, but on balance, that's a 9-month setback, but then you have the rest of her life and the rest of the child's life. Anyway, the point is that the matter of fact is, and I think for not unreasonable reasons, if buying a pregnant slave is worth more than buying a not pregnant slave. There's some value to the kid in the oven. So that's your classic, you know, Dmei Vlados, the money for the money of the Vlad. There's a separate issue, which is called, let's call it Shvach Vlados, which is that the woman is more attractive when she's pregnant. Chazal seem to have just a general preference for fatter. Fatter is always better. We remember the Katala that to make them look fat, they used to make the children. But I think in general, they wanted to look fat. That was a sign of healthiness. That was attractive. I can't tell you. I guess I could tell you because what? What? I don't think it's something fat. I think in general, I'm speculating. I think in general, life was really hard in the good old days, and everyone was like thin and wiry because they were working. You know, they're muscular and thin, and you know, they're working people. So to be sort of like heavy and like fleshy was indicative of, I don't know if it's indicative, it just maybe just Stom preferable. It could be, so there's two possibilities. Either just Stom is indicative of like being rich and a woman of leisure, which is true, like the fingernails and the pale complexion, like that, like you know, 200 years ago. But it could just be something less abstract than that. It could just be that like a hard working woman who's like out working all day every day is like her figure is less attractive than a woman who's more fleshy. So they, anyways, a pregnant woman, or you could say the woman glows, I don't know what everyone would say. The point is, their assessment was that pregnant women are more attractive than not pregnant women. That's that. I gave you my suggestion why. So there's a separate compensation about she's like being losing her pregnantness also makes her lose that glow, the extra attractiveness. There's those compensation that needs to be made. So that's the background. The Mishnah says inside. It says Shor Shaya Miskavan. Okay, yeah. So inside Dalit Shor Shaya Miskavan L'Chavero, a cow that went and was trying to gore its fellow cow. And we said the pasuk was v'chiyinatu anashe, when people fight, but this is a cow fighting. V'hikes aisha, and the cow charges its neighbor cow, and the neighbor cow ducks, and the cow clobbers the pregnant woman. V'yatsa yiladeh, the baby comes out. Patur b'dmei v'lados. There's no d'mei v'lados payment by the owner of the cow because the pasuk said anashim to exclude animals. Okay, however, the Adam, if it would be a person, Mr. A was punching Mr. B, and Mr. B ducked, and he hit, and Mr. A hit Mrs. B, and she miscarried. The Adam shayam miskaven lechavero, A was trying to hit B. Vehikes haisha, meanwhile he missed B and hit B's wife, was pregnant. Vyatzi lada, and the baby comes out. Mishalm de mevlados, he has to pay de mevlados, which according to Tanakam would be both payments, compensation for the lost child, like slave market type value, and also an assessment about her decreased attractiveness. Fine, and both those payments will go to the husband, Mrs. B's husband. She lost the baby, but it's his loss. It's learned out from the pasuk, and the pasuk says, "Kasher yashis alav bala isha," as will be assessed by the husband of the woman, that the husband gets the payment. So, according to Tanakama, husband gets both payments: payment for the lost child and payment for the reduction of the attractiveness of the woman. Now, the next line is open to has a few different understandings. I'll just tell you one because time is short and all a little unusual. I'll give you one of them. Ketzed mishalom de mevlados. So the Gemara says, how do you pay de mevlados? So simply, shaman esa isha, you just establish how much the woman is worth. Kama hi yafa, achlo yalda, vakama yafa mishi yalda. How much is worth before, how much is worth after. That's straightforward. But now, that wasn't really the contentious part, I'm sorry. The weird next sentence is here. Amr Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, that doesn't make sense. So I'm going to give you one explanation, according to Rav and the Gemara. Im Kain, if that's true, he says, Misha Isha Yoledes Mashbachas. When the woman has her baby, she is... So according to Rav, it's like she's still attractive. Okay, there's another approach. I don't want to do both of that because we're over time. One approach is that the woman actually is worth more once the baby came out. I'll tell you both. One approach is because she's like it's a ticking time on baby inside is a high risk proposition. So like you'd rather buy the slave woman without the baby inside because that's a good chance that baby will be miscarriage and infant mortality is very high, and on top of that it's a high risk, the child woman won't make it either, so therefore you're better off having the child out. So she actually, one approach is she's worth more. The other approach is that she's, after the child is out, she's still attractive, like the fleshiness, whatever, wasn't just about having a big bump in her stomach, it's that the whole body is like, you know, puffed up. So that's, the baby came out and she's still puffed up, so she's also, it's not just the baby, she's also losing. So according to Rava, she's also a loser. It's not just the husband lost the child, she also lost her attractiveness, and therefore they should split the, when it comes to the Demei Vlados, the loss of the baby, that indeed should go to the husband. But in terms of the Shvach, the enhanced, you know, enhancement of her beauty, that should be split between the two of them. Elishalmanes of Vlados, Kamehen Yafin, Venos Nabal, you figure out the loss of the baby, that money goes to the husband. But the payment of her loss of beauty, if you will, is split between the two of them. That's what Rava learns. Okay? If she has no husband, then nos in the yorshav. The pasuk says it goes to him. So if he's not around, it goes to his inheritors. Now, what happens if she has no inheritors? So, ha'isa shivcha v'nishtachra, o gioris. What happens if she was a freed slave or a gioris? Meaning that, and she dies without children. So she's no one to follow. Remember, the shivcha who became a Jew and the gioris who became a Jew, they're cut off from the top of the family tree, and if they have children, there's no bottom family tree, there's no family tree. So they have no inheritors. I oversimplify that. Really, the truth is, the gioris, or whatever, would be married to a man, because there's a child there, obviously, and the husband, we're assuming the husband is also a ger, and there's no child. because we're looking at his inheritors, not her inheritors. Okay? So in all those cases, patur. Then there's no payment to be made, because the payment doesn't go to her, it goes to the husband. But then there's a slight machlokas here again, an important machlokas. Does that mean, so Rav learns that black and white. That means it never would go to her, only go to her husband. If there's no husband, it goes to heirs. If there's no heirs, then there's no payment to be made. End of story. Okay? That's Rav Shita. Rav Chista Shita. And that's the Rosh learns like that, and the Ramah learns like that. So that's the dead din, according to Ashkenazim. There's no payment to be made if there's no inheritance. There's no, in terms of the Dmei Vlados, if there's no husband and no inheritors. According to Rabbah. According to Rabbah, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rambam, that's only true if the husband was alive when it happened, and therefore he was the address. Then he died, and he has no inheritors. There's no address, so just no payment to be made. But if at the time that the miscarriage happened, the husband was already dead, so then the address of the payment was her. Says Rabbah, so she'll forget it. The only time it's going to the husband is if his husband's alive. If the husband were dead at the time of the thing happening, so then. I don't know if I'm speaking the sentence. If the husband was dead at the time of it happening, then she gets the payment. It goes to her. Okay, so that's a machlokas, also down to halacha. Okay, very good.